Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Knowing what's what on your tree can help you take better care of your plant. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, tree lingo and its importance. So we need to know what makes up our friends the trees.
I thought it was important to maybe go over a few of the more regularly encountered ones that you might see when you're reading a tag on a tree at the nursery, or you're talking to the landscape designer who's coming over to your house to help develop a criteria for your new landscaping project, or if you're a student studying anything in the landscaping industry, such as forestry, irrigation, a tree care professional, nursery professionals. They all kind of use some of these terms, and it gives you a better understanding of trees, I think, too.
So you can take care of them better if you understand them better.
You can understand them much better. Knowledge is power, for sure. So we can work from the top down.
Okay.
And crown is a term, refers to the above ground parts that begin to organize above where the trunk ends. So the crown consists of limbs, branches, and twigs. And so the hierarchy on that limbs, branches, and twigs is kind of goes like this. Limbs are the scaffold. Limbs are the big aerial trunks, if you will. Sometimes they can start very close to the ground, as they often do in nature. But sometimes plants are selected with the low limbs because it has a certain type of screening or fullness effect that presents differently in the landscape. So limbs are the scaffold. The branches are where there is a division. So the limb will split into branches, and at the ends of those branches, their little guys are the twigs. That's where the floral buds, the fruit, the leaves, that's where that's all happening.
Okay.
Twigs that come right off of, leaves and things that come right off the branches, other advantageous twigs that come off the branches, those are suckers or water sprouts. They can occur on the limb or they can occur down at the bottom where the tree comes out of the ground.
Now, I'm under the impression that if they occur down at the bottom, that's not healthy.
Well, I think it depends on what the conditions are. So if you have a tree and the top of it's sick and all of a sudden you're getting these lower advantageous growth off of the lower stump, yeah, that's a problem.
Okay.
But otherwise, trees grow that way.
Oh.
Trees grow that way, and man, cuts them off so it doesn't interfere with his horse riding or his lawn mowing, right? Man. And then the trunk below all of these limbs, branches, and twigs, it starts at the ground and can go up into the crown before terminating. And the little spot where it kind of starts out of the ground and it starts big and ends small, I've heard it described as an elephant's foot. I think that's a great way to look at it. That's the basal flare. The basal flare is where the bottom of the trunk flares out into the ground.
The basal flare.
And the basal flare is something of character that we all admire. Some trees, again, it's a characteristic that's very attractive. And slow-growing, hard trees oftentimes have dramatic basal flares. If that's an area of the tree, you don't want to bury or anything like that. But on with the lingo. On with the lingo.
Okay.
So the trunk is measured with an abbreviation called DBH, which is diameter at breast height. That's 5 feet off the ground for you and me.
Okay.
So if you were to come to the Fell Arboretum, and you are invited, it is free, it is yours if you pay taxes, you will see that many of the tags are hung at 5 feet off the ground, and that's right where the ground and the trunk are at, you know, because some trees, they kind of mound up over time, or they were planted high, but the 5 feet is from the ground at the base of the trunk, somewhere at a point 5 feet off the ground on the trunk.
So like maybe roughly where your breastbone could be.
It's okay. Shoulder height for me.
Okay. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, understanding tree lingo.
So we were talking about that diameter at breast height. That's measured in feet and inches, or meters and centimeters if you're in Europe. And it is a great way to make a quick, easily reachable determination of the tree's rate of growth. It's a great measurement. It's a measurement that's also used in forestry to determine the volume and value of timber. It's used in the landscape and nursery industry because a lot of times they sell trees by the inch of diameter. So you get a 1-inch tree, a 1 1/4-inch tree, a 1 1/2-inch tree, et cetera, et cetera.
I gotcha.
They should do a Schoolhouse Rock thing about that.
They should.
So now that we've come down the trunk, we're at the basal flare. We can talk about the roots. Some of the lingo that you can run into with roots is a tap root. Not all trees have them. There was an understanding in the past that every tree had this big, long, candle-like root that was running down into the earth to hold it to the ground.
Oh.
Some trees have it. Not all trees do.
Oh.
It's more uncommon than it is common. Your roots kind of behave like the limbs, branches, and twigs do. So some of the roots hold the trees to the ground. Those are buttress roots. They start where the basal flare disappears into the ground. And at the ends of those root runs are the little feeder roots that are like human hair, that they absorb the water, and they absorb the nutrients, and they connect with other trees and living plants and living things through a network called mycelium.
Mycelium,
yeah, right? And they sometimes call this horizon in the soil the mycorrhizae.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's like there's a whole other world right under your feet, you know?
And it's important to keep that area healthy.
It is. And it's also where all of these trees of different kinds and the woody plants and the herbaceous plants, this is fascinating. This is where they all connect. This is where they all meet. This is where they all become one.
Wow.
Part of some ecosystem, okay? So think about that when you're playing overhand jarts, okay? Now, the rest of the roots understanding, it has changed in our lifetime. There used to be a kind of a misconception that the roots ended where the branches ended. So the crown, where the branches end, that's the drip line. That's the drip line. But we now know that the roots can go far past the drip line and up to miles away.
Miles away?
So there are roots that are about the size of a number two pencil or your pinky that have been found to have traveled over a mile away from red oaks, white oaks. This has been studied on many campuses, many arboretums. They're going to go with gravity, and they're going to go with and where there's water.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. So it's just not the case that they stop there. You can see lots of drawings and art where the roots below ground are a reflection of what's going on with the branches above ground. That's partly true. Some of the architecture may be the same, but it may not be, right?
I always thought it was that way. That's mind-blowing to me.
It's another thing, you know, all that's seen and unseen. It's just fascinating. Now, we've talked about the basic components of the tree, and with the little bit of time we have left to visit, I thought we could talk about three, I think, kind of interesting and fun horticultural vocabulary terms.
Oh, I love vocab.
First is the droop, spelled D-R-U-P-E, not D-R-O-O-P, but a droop is a stone fruit, like a peach or cherry, an olive or a walnut, and a Cornelian cherry dogwood has them. They look like red jelly beans. A pulse, those are peas, beans, and lentils, and those are the edible seeds of legumes. So mind your pulse and your droop. And you're going to go farther as you shop for and take care of your trees.
Okay, some great advice there. Thank you, Murph, so much. Next week, we're going to be taking a couple of great questions about grub treatments and gardening tools. And we would love your gardening questions as well. Go to WGLT.org/grow, fill in the form, and send it along to us. Submit those questions at WGLT.org/grow.